Welcome to the Senior Pet Podcast, a show dedicated to giving our senior four-legged family members their happiest and healthiest lives. Now join our senior pet experts, veterinarian Dr. Stacy Bone and animal health insider Ron DeVries, as they discuss why old age is not a disease.
Hey everyone, Dr. Bone here, and I just wanted to take a brief minute to talk about our sponsor for this episode, PetFlow. PetFlow is a website dedicated to offering all of us as pet owners a place to find premium toys, treats, health supplies, and the best in nutrition for your pet. And that includes both regular diets and prescription diets. With convenient auto ship options, PetFlow will deliver food right to your front door before you run out. So no more late night trips to the pet store or calling your veterinarian at the last minute to pick up your pet's prescription diet. But what I really wanted to talk about is their Good Deeds program. PetFlow strongly believes that no pet should go hungry. So for every bowl of food purchased on their site, they donate a bowl of food to pets in need. In fact, in the last 3 months, they donated over 159,000 pounds of food to shelters and families who couldn't afford to feed their own pets. That is absolutely incredible. And since PetFlow knows that all of you believe in the best for your pets, they are giving listeners of the Senior Pet Podcast a discount on their site. Use the promo code SENIORPET16 for 16% off your first auto ship order as a new customer. Head over to PetFlow.com and take a look at their amazing line of products and spoil your dog or cat. And by doing so, help pets in need. You can't ask for much more. And now on to the show. Welcome, everybody, to the Senior Pet Podcast. I am Dr. Stacy Bone, and with me is my co-host, Ron DeVries. Ron, how's it going?
It is a great day, Stacy. Thank you.
It is a great day. We're in the middle of spring here in Missouri, and it's about to get humid and hot, but for this, it's Memorial Day is the day that we are recording this, and it's beautiful out right now. I think it's supposed to storm later, though, so we'll see. As is Missouri weather, it changes very rapidly. So I guess before we get into this, we should do a Memorial Day thanks. I always think that that's a nice thing to say. So thank you to everyone who has given their lives in service for this country. And I have a number of military people in my family. Ron, you were military, weren't you?
I was. Yeah absolutely.
So thanks everybody for their service. It's always, I think, worthwhile to say. And with that being said, Ron, this is a big episode. We are finally, and everybody probably at home is like, thank the Lord, they're finally talking about something that's worthwhile. But we are finally going to dive into diseases. And we've been laying the groundwork now for what seems like 6 months of, you know, basically kind of all the different ways that we approach diseases and diagnostics and all this kind of stuff, because it's a very valuable foundation for discussing diseases. So there's probably no other disease that we deal with in our senior pet population than arthritis.
Bam. There it is.
There it is. Yeah. And so we thought, you know, if we're going to break the ice here and we're going to do something that's worthwhile, we're going to do something that affects every single senior pet out there, whether you're a dog, a cat, a ferret, a wallaby, a kangaroo, you name it. We all deal with arthritis at some point in our life. The longer we live, the more likely we are to deal with it. So Ron, what do you know about arthritis? So let's deal with the definitions, because I think there's a lot of misuse of words. There's a lot of transposition of words. And I think it really behooves us. Look at me using my fancy words today.
I thought that was just one of my mom's words.
It's really important for us to really get the definitions out there, because when we say things, it may mean something differently to you. So, Ron, I'm going to put you on the spot. We're going to play Webster's Dictionary today.
So I never win at this game, ever.
So I'm going to have you define some terms for me. And don't try to get it right. Just in the back of of your mind as a pet owner, tell me what you think whenever I ask you to define these terms. So define arthritis.
Greek or Latin for swollen joint. That's as close as I probably would get.
I think you nailed it. Guys, I promise you, he did not pull out a dictionary. He kept his Webster's Pocket Dictionary in his car where he keeps that all the time. So yes, that's it. So arthritis in a nutshell is inflammation of the joints. That's the itis part of that word, and the arthro part of that word is joint. So inflammation of the joints. So, Ron, what is osteoarthritis?
I was going to say I'd like to leave on a high note, but I knew this would be coming. So, osteoarthritis, is osteo more related to senior or something of aging degree?
Yes. So, osteoarthritis is a type of arthritis. Okay. So, if you think of arthritis as the over-encompassing term, osteoarthritis is the term we use for deterioration and degeneration of articular cartilage. And so articular cartilage is the cartilage that you find in our joints. When we say arthritis, a lot of times in veterinary medicine, and I think a lot of us in general, we're really talking about osteoarthritis, right? Because arthritis can affect anybody at any time. Osteoarthritis is typically what we see in our senior pets. Or in us, you know, as I get older and older and I have to take an ibuprofen because I slept wrong, like those kind of things that we deal with. Or if you're a runner or you've had hip surgery in the past, I mean, that is osteoarthritis. So with that being said, Ron, what is degenerative joint disease?
That osteoarthritis reminds me of Southerners when they'd say, you know, go get you a Coca-Cola, and they meant any kind of soda. But those of us from the North didn't know that.
So I was like, Coke kid. I'll say Coke for anything. Yeah.
So degenerative osteoarthritis?
Degenerative joint disease.
Degenerative joint disease. Sounds very painful. Sounds like something that occurs over time to our joints. And I'm probably pretty close. Can I stop there?
You can. You can, because DJD, degenerative joint disease, is osteoarthritis. So I tricked you a little bit because, again, it's one of these things that if you're Googling, right, if we all Google, and it's a verb now, you know, it's one of these things that we all look this stuff up. You know, DJD and osteoarthritis, or OA is the term we use to shorten that. That is all the same exact thing. And so different veterinarians, depending on where they're taught or what they do, or if they're a surgeon or if they're a general practitioner, they'll use these terms interchangeably, but they mean the exact same thing. All right. So Ron, what's hip dysplasia?
Hip dysplasia is something frequently found in German shepherds.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
very
the
much
sales
so.
Side
yeah.
of me. I know that they're, prone to hip dysplasia. I believe it is a specific type of arthritis found in the hip.
So, and that's what a lot of people think. But the thing of it is that, so you're absolutely right in half of that. So hip dysplasia, the best way I can describe it is it's improper fitting of the joint. And so if we think about hip dysplasia, what that means is if you think of the ball and socket of the hip, and it sits, you know, this ball of the femur sits within the socket of the hip. When a hip is dysplastic, that little ball moves in and out of the joint. And what that does is that actually rubs over time. So hip dysplasia is a diagnosis. It has nothing to do with arthritis. And so hip dysplasia is something we typically diagnose at less than 2 years of age, right? We've all seen the German Shepherd that walks around and they're walking like they're, you know, they have to take a poop, but they don't have to take a poop because their hips, literally every time they step, they're popping in and out of the socket. Well, what happens is that if you imagine if your joints are rubbing together over a long period of time, that leads to osteoarthritis. Why that's important is that we don't diagnose an 8-year-old dog with hip dysplasia. We diagnose an 8-year-old dog with arthritis, with osteoarthritis, secondary to hip dysplasia. And that's a big thing because the treatment for those are completely different. Because since hip dysplasia is an anatomical problem, we have to fix the joint. The way we do that is a hip transplant. But if they're young enough, you can get in. And this is why we always recommend you screen your patients very early. There's a procedure called a JPS, which can be done very early, I think before 18 weeks of age, that they can go in and they can hit the growth plate and it can actually fix hip dysplasia before it developed really bad. But it is one of those things that need to be done by a veterinarian who knows what they're doing. But it's really important to identify that early on, because hip dysplasia can lead, and same with elbow dysplasia and all this stuff, will lead to arthritis eventually because the joint is not working appropriately. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. And so the final definition that I need you to give me is, are you familiar with something called spondylosis?
Spondylosis. Is that available at an Italian restaurant?
It's right next to fettuccine. So spondylosis is arthritis of the spine. And why this is really important is because we diagnose this a lot in our senior pets. And so we'll take x-rays. And what happens is you can get inflammation and bridging of the spine. So you'll see, like, vertebra are usually these separate structures in the back. And what will happen is they can actually bridge bone underneath there as a result of arthritis. And wow. So when I mentioned spondylosis kind of throughout this arthritis talk, I just want people to be familiar with it. Because again, it is really important for us to know the terms and to use those terms appropriately. And I'm going to apologize in advance. Ron and I will probably say arthritis, but we're meaning osteoarthritis. We're talking about the condition that deals with our older pets, right? The inflammation of the joints that is secondary to breakdown of the cartilage. So, Ron, are you okay? You with me? All right.
I'm trying to figure out the spondylosis and if that's related to invertebrate disc disease at all.
Yeah, so that's a great question. We don't know. We think that there's probably sometimes a little bit of instability in the spine and that bridging can be part of it. And what I can do, especially for those of you who are listening at home that don't have the benefit of me throwing my fist up in the air to show Ron what I'm talking about. I'll do a blog topic on this. So if you guys aren't familiar with our website, you can head over to pawfriction.com and here in the very near future, pawtology.com. And I'll do a blog on spondylosis because I think it's important for people to know because it's a very common thing that we see in senior pets. And sometimes it can get very, very, very severe. And sometimes so severe that I've seen dogs break that bridging of bone because they've bent wrong and stuff. And for the longest time, a lot of people tell us spondylosis isn't painful, but I think there's a camp of veterinarians, myself included, that feel like that's maybe not entirely accurate because I've seen dogs that seem very painful in the back and there's really no other explanation besides that they're spondylosis. So someday if we bring on a neurologist, we need to have that discussion with them because I think that would be a really interesting topic.
Yeah, we'll put them in the hot seat instead of me.
Right. And so, when we deal with osteoarthritis, we talk about, so degenerative joint disease and osteoarthritis is this end stage. And basically what happens is the cartilage that are in our joints deteriorates over time and it becomes brittle. And so what happens is that we can basically deal with mild inflammation within that joint, bone rubbing on bone, and all of that contributes to pain. That's the heart and soul of degenerative joint disease, osteoarthritis, and things like that. It's just important to recommend that arthritis happens to any aged dog. There's a ton of things that can go wrong with the joint, from infections to ACL tears to autoimmune diseases that can cause inflammation of the joints, and that's arthritis. Osteoarthritis is this term that we use for this end-stage degeneration of the joint. So you with me? It's heavy. I apologize to everybody at home. But again, we have to get better at using the terms appropriately because the treatments are different.
And recognizing it early.
Exactly. So what we're going to do real quick, Ron, is we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about how common is arthritis. We're going to talk about the signs and symptoms of arthritis, and then that'll probably wrap up this episode, and then we'll go on in the future to talk a little bit more about kind of what our therapies and things like that are. So we will be right back. All right, everybody, we are back. So, Ron, I beat everybody over the head with a dictionary for the last, you know, five, seven minutes. But I think we've got that under control. So now let's start talking about really how common is arthritis in our senior pets. And, you know, I think that you're going to find this with a lot of diseases, right, that we deal with seniors, that the older they get, the more likely they are to have it. So take a guess. If you had to guess, what percent of senior dogs deal with osteoarthritis?
Well, I can tell you, Stacy, 100% of dogs deal with it in the DeVries household.
Yeah.
I would imagine that that number's got to be extremely high as well. So I'm going to go 88%.
Yeah. And so the thing of it is that number is literally all over the place. I mean, it goes anywhere from 50% to upwards of 90%.
So probably 88.
Yeah, exactly 88. And that's the, you know, and that's the thing of it that we deal with is that it is ubiquitous. I mean, there's really not an animal, I don't think, that will deal with this. The older they get, the more likely they are to have it. What about cats? Because I think that the theory is that cats don't get arthritis. Or at least don't get it as much as dogs. So, Ron, what do you think about senior cats? What percent of senior cats have arthritis?
So I would probably lump them into the category of dogs, right? It's going to be a high number. And then we always have to remember that our good friend, the predator cat, is going to hide that.
Absolutely.
So that, because that's what cats do. So I'm gonna guess that that number is probably equally high. Let's go 87%.
Yeah, so basically the exactly right. I mean, we can assume that any cat over the age of 10 will have arthritis. And the numbers are, again, in the 90s. I mean, it's crazy. And a lot of that's an assumption. It's an assumption based on the studies that we've seen. But again, cats are difficult because our cats do what for 20 hours out of the day?
Sleep.
Yeah, they sleep. They lay around. And so a lot of times the symptoms are a lot harder to get. We know radiographically, a lot of them have evidence, but as we'll talk about here in a little bit, radiographs are kind of not the greatest method of diagnosis of arthritis. So yeah, I mean, the long and the short of it is tons and tons and tons of senior pets deal with arthritis. And even more geriatric pets or super senior pets deal with arthritis. The older you get, the more likely you are, and the more likely it is to get worse. You know, we know that this is a big industry because think of all the stuff that's out there to treat arthritis. I mean, you walk into any pet store, you go online, Ron, how many supplements exist? I mean, it's got to be in the hundreds, right? If not thousands.
It's got to be. And with the advent of this intranet thing they talk about, I mean, you can't look at any pet superstore or whatever online and not come across products specifically designed for arthritis.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, it's definitely, definitely out there. And we deal with it a ton as veterinary practitioners and pet owners both. Ron, what do you think about breeds? Do you think that there are breeds that are predisposed to developing arthritis, osteoarthritis?
Yeah, since we talked a little bit about hip dysplasia and specifically German Shepherds, I would have to imagine that there are certainly breeds that it's more problematic with.
Yeah, I think any breed of dog that's at risk for conformation issues of the joints is going to be at a higher level representation of arthritis. So we deal with Labradors and we deal with German Shepherds and we deal with, you know, a lot of like Great Danes and any dog that you're going to see that hip dysplasia or elbow dysplasia is something they screen for as part of the breeding process. That's a dog that's likely to develop arthritis, osteoarthritis later on in life. One of the things we have to be wary of, and I can speak from personal experience on this, is that, you know, our mind a lot of times immediately wants to go to large breed dogs. You know, we immediately think of the German Shepherds and the Labradors, but we also have to realize that our small breed dogs absolutely deal with arthritis as well. Coming from somebody who owned a Jack Russell Terrier, who had a luxating patella, who developed arthritis, I mean, she lived on anti-inflammatories the last year of her life because of arthritis. When you had Rudy, did Rudy deal with arthritis?
Yeah, he sure did. And what you had mentioned earlier in regards to, you know, I don't know that he had spondylosis, certainly nothing diagnosed, but he certainly had pain in his back as well.
Yeah. And that's a, you know, and those are the big things. So we don't want to alienate, like we don't want to think to ourselves, well, I have a small dog, so I'll never have to deal with arthritis because that's not the case at all. I mean, certainly we see it more in bigger dogs because by virtue of being a bigger dog, they're going to carry more weight. And I think we're able to see it maybe a little bit sooner, but our small breed dogs absolutely do. So, I mean, there's not too many 12, 13, 14 year old, less than 20 pound dogs who don't have arthritis. I mean, I think again, it's just this ubiquitous thing that we see because of the nature of breeding and the nature of what our animals have and the conformation problems and developmental issues and all this thing that they will develop osteoarthritis at some point.
I would imagine if you looked at the population of overweight dogs specifically, there may be some correlation to osteoarthritis as well.
What a beautiful segue into the next topic of conversation. So what causes osteoarthritis? And so we are putting obesity number one on that list. So Ron, let me ask you, because someday we'll talk about obesity, but what percent of our dogs and what percent of our cats do you think are overweight?
Ooh. Well, if you ask a nutrition company, the number is certainly going to be good and high, right? Yeah. And I understand that. And I certainly also agree with a lot of that. Boy, I would say easily over 50%.
Yeah. So the latest, the 2018 study that was released, it was 60% of cats and 57 or 56% of dogs, which is crazy to think about, right? I mean, that's over half, almost two thirds of cats that are overweight. But we know that being overweight is strongly correlated to osteoarthritis. And so that's one of the most important things you can do to prevent it, or at least slow it down, is to keep your animal in good weight. Or if they get diagnosed with arthritis, is to get them to lose weight, because we know that carrying less weight is super helpful. So that's one thing that certainly is one of the factors. And there's no direct cause of osteoarthritis. I mean, we talked about a few of the things that play a role into this. So there's no single cause, but there's multiple factors together. So obesity, that's one. What else?
Outside of obesity, genetics.
Yeah, so that's a huge one, right? So genetics plays into the hip dysplasia. It also plays into conformation. So think of bulldogs, and bulldogs are walking with those front legs turned in. We think of dachshunds and basset hounds that have abnormal joint development. They have abnormal bone development just because of their breeds. Those dogs, by conformation and genetics, are predisposed to arthritis just by virtue of who they are and what they are. German shepherds, we talk about again, you know, with the breeding and things like that. You've seen over the years that they get what are called dropped hocks, which is where that back end drops down. And that predisposes you because there's abnormal forces on the joints and you're walking abnormally, and there's other things that go along with it. So yeah, genetics. What else?
What about environment? What about those dogs that are having to navigate stairs regularly?
Yeah, so that's an activity history. I mean, I think we know, and it's. I don't know if a study's ever been done. If it does and it's disproved me, I apologize. If it proves me, then I'm right, and you know, we'll rub it in your face later. But yeah, I think that what we can say is that probably dogs that are agility, or they do a lot of dock diving, or they do a lot of jumping, or they're working dogs, they're probably at a higher risk of developing degeneration of the joints, right? We know that from marathon runners and people who do this heavy, like adventure racing and things like that, that yeah, because of just the sheer impact of the joints, that can cause problems long-term. And along with that, if we're gonna include activity, then we also have to include injury. Because I think any dog that's torn an ACL, or any dog that's fractured something, or any dog that's done a muscle injury or had a joint infection or anything along those lines is going to be at a higher risk of developing degenerative joint disease because they've had inflammation in that joint previously. And as we've talked before, way back in one of our very first episodes, go listen to it if you haven't, we talked about inflammation and that inflammation is bad. And that's in our episode that why old age isn't a disease is we talk about how inflammation is the enemy of aging. And so inflammation within a joint predisposes you to developing osteoarthritis long term. So it's amazing how finally 6 months later, we've linked those two episodes. So it's really important.
Wait till 6 months from now. You're not going to believe what we're able to
exactly.
link.
Exactly. And along with that same line is the last thing that really plays as a factor is it goes along with injury, which is surgery. Anytime you've cut into a joint, you've created inflammation. Even though we're doing the best we can, we're fixing something or repairing something. By virtue of fixing that, we've instilled inflammation. And that inflammation over time is going to probably cause some degeneration of that joint. And that's a really big thing that we have to think about. And so, you know, when we talk about therapies, and I think we'll probably talk about therapies in the next episode, this may unfortunately, for those of you who wanted us to get it all done in one, versus making a 2.5 hour singular podcast. We may need to make three smaller ones. But when we talk about therapies, we'll talk about what are some things that can be done when you're early in life, right? You know, when you've injured yourself, Ron, like, are there things that can be done to slow the progression of arthritis long term? And spoiler alert, there are. I mean, there absolutely are. And so we'll cover all of that as well. And so that's really the heart and soul of what quote unquote causes osteoarthritis. There's not one singular cause. It's a combination of a lot of things together, from day one of life to day 11 of life to year 11 of life. I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong that can predispose you to developing inflammation and degeneration of the joint. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting when you talk about doing something good for your pet, maybe having surgery to repair something. And I always look at us as humans getting something done, maybe your shoulder, your rotator cuff. And you can bet down the road, you're going to have a little osteoarthritis in there. So,
yeah. And it, you know, it's a rock and a hard place because you obviously can't leave a rotator cuff unsurgically repaired, right? There's a lot of pain and inflammation that deals with that as well. If you tear a labrum or if you tear your ACL, there's going to be inflammation in that joint regardless, surgery or otherwise. Our goal is to let's treat the acute pain, but let's deal with the chronic whenever it comes up. So that's why we talk about that. You can't avoid it, right? You can't get away from arthritis. It's going to hit us all at some point, one way or the other, just because of the life that we live.
Well, it's exciting to know what's coming up on the next episode. That's my way of saying, make sure you check it out.
Yeah. And so with that being said, I think we're going to cut this episode at this point in time. We're easing into about 20, 25 minutes. So just to keep these a little bit shorter so that everybody can adjust and hopefully we can get them out a little bit more frequently for you guys and you can kind of digest them in smaller bits. Ron, before we close for the day, anything you want to add, share, complain about, yell at me for?
No, just as we've been talking about osteoarthritis, make sure that you're as cognizant as you can be about it because, you know, maybe it's something in the brain. Maybe it's not in the brain. Maybe it is physical. Be patient with your pet. Keep an eye on them. Watch what's causing them pain. And that way you can have a little richer conversation with your veterinarian about it.
Absolutely. And I think we'll cover that in depth. Like, what are the symptoms of arthritis? Because I think that a lot of us as pet owners, we don't know. And I think what we don't know in this case hurts us to some extent, or hurts our patients, or hurts our pets, because we have misconceptions about what is arthritis and what are the symptoms that it causes. So we're going to cover the most mild to the most severe, and that'll be the next episode on arthritis. So thank you everybody for tuning in. As always, you can email us at theseniorpetpodcast@gmail.com, and we will be back hopefully in a week. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Senior Pet Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to catch our next episode and follow us at the Senior Pet Podcast on your social media of choice. The information in this podcast is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional veterinary advice, diagnosis, or treatment. please consult your veterinarian with any concerns about your individual pet.